Welcome to Waiting For You, the podcast where we talk infertility, hope, loss and courage. I'm Janine, mum of one, a newborn and family photographer and lover of dark chocolate. Here we will share stories of families who have faced a different or difficult journey through conception, pregnancy or postpartum. I want to honour these stories and have them be heard, and I want to bring it all, the tears, the hope, the despair and the joy. Hey, today I am chatting with Sarah, who shares her experience of having polycystic ovarian syndrome and how that affected her fertility and then the treatment she received. We talk a lot about Sarah's postpartum depression after her first child was born and all the things she did to get well again. I am so grateful to her for opening up like this. Here's Sarah's story. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi.
Hi. It's so nice to have you here. Do you want to start, lovely, by telling me a little bit about you and your family?
Sure. My name is Sarah. I'm originally from India. I've been in New Zealand for almost 10 years now. I'm a GP. I work in North Shore. And I live with my husband and my two beautiful daughters. Actually, three. I've got a dog too. And my dog's five. My girl is, eldest one is 4 years old, and my youngest one's 2.5 years old.
Yeah. And I just like to say that I met you because I've photographed your family a few times, and it's so amazing for me that you want to share your story. So thank you.
Yeah, we met during our pregnancy shoot.
We did. Yeah, that was amazing. So what do you love doing as a family with your little ones?
Well, we try to spend as much time as we can with them during weekends, because my husband and I work, and they go, most of the times they're at daycare, they do school hours. So we take them for dancing classes over the weekend and swimming. Mm-hmm. And also we try making a conscious effort to spend time as much as we can, just going outdoors, parks and things like that. It's all about them right now.
Absolutely.
Just spending more time with them and helping them just grow up and be wonderful humans.
Yeah, which if they're anything like you, they will be wonderful humans.
Thank you.
So you're going to share your story about coming to have your two little girls.
Yes.
How did you know that you were first facing any fertility issues?
I think I always knew about it because I have polycystic ovaries.
Okay.
Yes. I didn't have regular periods, and I always had issues with that. And we got married in 2015. And we started seriously that time. So it were, well, I thought I might just get lucky, you know, without doing any treatment. So, but it didn't work. So almost 2 years after that, I finally decided, no, it's time to see a GP and time to see a specialist. Uh-huh. I was referred to, 2 years doing whatever we asked to do. I finally went to GP. Did all the bloods. I was referred to Green Lane under public health, so I could tick all the boxes that time.
Yeah.
And so I started the fertility treatment with them, and I went on ovulation induction medication, letrozole. So I took it, and it was hard taking it because of all the side effects I started getting. Mm-hmm. And so the first cycle was for 3 months, and it didn't work. So I used to have regular blood tests and to make sure I'm ovulating. It was quite, obviously, when the blood showed that you're not ovulating, so that was something which obviously was emotionally hard.
Yeah.
So then, and all this while, my husband was quite supportive. He's like, you know, it doesn't matter. It's okay. It'll be fine. So that was very important part, that, you know, there was a lot of support from Percy.
Of course.
So we went for the second one, and then they said, okay, let's do another cycle and increase the dose of the medication. Mm-hmm. So I increased the dose of the medication. And the plan was, if that doesn't work, then we give you clomiphene and then probably take the eggs out and, you know, just do
IVF.
Yeah. And yeah, the second cycle worked for me. And I think, yes, and I got pregnant within probably a month or two. So I think it was unbelievable because I was like, oh, this is, I just felt a little nausea and uncomfortable. I was doing blood tests. So I did a home test, urine test, and it was positive. And then we did a blood test and yeah, we were pregnant.
Wow.
And amazing. Yeah. So that the journey started.
Started so, there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, can I just ask before we go on? So PCOS.
Yes.
Can you explain, I mean, just so that people listening know, it affects your ovulation, doesn't it?
Yes, it's usually a polycystic ovaries. It's like a syndrome. It's like a collection of things. Right. So it's mostly people may have very irregular cycles because they're not ovulating on time. And along with that, you may have other symptoms like, you know, facial hair growth, you may have acne, you may have weight issues and things like that. So I had irregular periods ever since I knew it. I have still facial hair, you know, you just thick hair and it comes on your tummy, it comes on your lower back.
Right.
So these are when someone comes to us and, you know, when we put all things together and there are blood tests you do and there are ultrasounds you do and then it comes as yes. All these are fitting into polycystic ovaries.
Into that, right.
Yeah. Not everyone gets the treatment, but some can just fall pregnant by themselves. But I was one of those cases. I needed help to fall pregnant, yeah.
Mm. And so the letrozole, does that try to make your cycle more regular and with regular ovulation?
Yeah, it helps your body to form more eggs. Basically,
right.
By chemicals, whatever the medication is. So that's what helps me. And when I saw the specialist, they were monitoring my blood test after every week to see if I'm forming the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So they check the blood levels. And when you form an egg, the blood level go up, the progesterone, and mm-hmm. That's how it helps you. So yeah, they started me on that. And it has comparatively less side effects as well. So I got lucky in the second cycle when they increased the dose. I was pregnant.
Amazing. Oh, it's so good. And so how was your pregnancy?
My pregnancy was very hard.
Was it?
No, it wasn't smooth. I had a lot of aches and pains during pregnancy, and it started soon after. I think it was in first trimester itself.
Right.
I started getting rib pains. I started getting lower back pain. It was mostly my rib pains which gave me really hard time. I couldn't sit properly. I had to stretch all the time. Work was hard because of the pain. So that was one thing which I struggled quite a bit. Mentally as well as physically, because the pain was constantly there. The baby was fine. She was growing well. But my physically, the pain was, I couldn't sleep properly. So this was just in the beginning. And by the time the pregnancy progressed, it got worse with time.
Yeah.
And towards the end, I was very, very uncomfortable. And the second thing which happened during my pregnancy is I got renal stones.
Oh, kidney stones?
Yes, I got kidney stones.
Did you?
Yes, and I got kidney stones at the, I think, 32nd week or towards the end of the pregnancy. I had a really bad pain, which couldn't really go away at all. So I ended up going to the emergency department, and the only thing which worked for me was morphine. It was that bad.
Wow.
And I was admitted in the hospital because obviously they wanted to know what's happening with my kidneys and they wanted to make sure my baby's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I was for 1 week, I was admitted in the hospital with the pain, with the regular medication. So that was hard because that made me stop work. I couldn't go back to work after that because I was exhausted and I was in constant pain. Yeah. And when I came back home after the week, I passed a renal kidney stone.
Wow.
And it was a huge kidney stone. It was a 7 mm kidney stone. And it was like a labor. I had never been into labor. So I think it was not as bad as labor, but it was quite bad. So that was the tipping point. You know, I was like, okay, now I need to stay home. My pains are not good. So I stopped working around that time. Mm-hmm. Till Tanaya was born. So that was my pregnancy was hard. I think because of physical aspects, it did put a toll on my emotional well-being as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, aren't we? Yeah. Was the kidney stones in any way related to pregnancy or just bad luck?
It was bad luck.
Yeah.
It was a bad luck.
Oh, my goodness, that sounds awful. awful. Yeah. And then you had your beautiful daughter. What was it like to have her finally in your arms?
It was surreal. It was beautiful. I remember her holding her and just looking into her eyes. I can still even, you know, visualize it the first time I held her. And then I had support here. My parents were here at that time when she was born. But unfortunately, they just could be here for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So mom was here, dad was here. Percy had taken time off work. So it was amazing to see her. Obviously everyone tells you about labor until you go through it yourself. I did take epidural because I couldn't bear the pain. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having third degree tear.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Luckily it wasn't that bad, but I took a little longer time to heal.
Yeah.
So that was a little hard. But yeah, we were good. She did require some lights because her bilirubin was a bit up.
Yeah.
So then after a week in the hospital, we were back home. And then the whole journey started with motherhood.
Yes.
And that was a different experience altogether.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because you shared with me when we were getting ready for this podcast that you struggled with postpartum depression after Tanaya was born.
Yes.
And I would love you to share with me about that, because I know that this happens to a lot of people, and talking about it's so important. So can you talk me through what that looks like for you?
Sure, definitely. I would love to if this helps somebody.
Absolutely.
So I think because of my pregnancy being hard, it was it probably made me a bit more anxious and a bit more careful about my daughter. I wanted to do everything perfectly. I wanted to be this mother who's just taking care of her, and you know, even if she had, I was very anxious, mom. I would say in the beginning, which is probably normal, but so this anxiety probably the bonding didn't affect with Tanaya. I was really well bonded with her, but I think I was channelizing that anxiety and into my husband.
Right. Okay.
And so I was getting more angry, I was getting more upset and irritable towards him. So that was my way of coping, or my way of dealing with the depression. I was teary. I was, because there was lack of sleep, there was breastfeeding involved, there was a crying baby trying to settle her. So it was all of that. I think all of that accumulated, and I did realize that in the beginning, I must say. I was like, you know, oh, it's just normal. Everyone goes through it. But I know now when I look back that how anxious I was to make everything perfect for her.
Yeah.
And that was unrealistic out of me, because I would, you know, I had, and that kind of put a lot of pressure on myself.
Yes.
To do everything right. And my relationship with Percy got affected as well, because if I had lack of sleep, it would come out as anger. And it would come towards him. It would come out as irritability. And I would be sitting in my room whole day trying to, you know, breastfeed her, put her down to sleep. It was all about her. Yeah. And I somehow forgot about myself. So this happened for 10 months. Wow. Okay, where I was emotionally up and down, crying, irritable, I can't do it. And Percy, being a psychiatrist, he probably knew what was going on, but he was just keeping his distance. So he said, you know, I think you might need to go to see a GP and, you know, you might talk to someone about it. And I kind of denied it. I said, no, I'm fine. You know, it's normal. And I'm it's lack of sleep. I'll be okay. And so that I put pressure on myself to do everything right. And I think my underlying pregnancy stress was also there. I hadn't resolved it, pains and all. So finally, what happened at around 8-9 months was I was breastfeeding her. I ended up getting infections on my nipples. They started cracking. But I was just adamant to feed her. She didn't take the bottle. She declined the bottle. But I was like, I'll still, I saw breastfeeding specialist, lactation specialist. So I did everything right, you know, tried, but they didn't heal. So it lasted for 6 weeks. When I finally decided, I spoke to Percy and I think we were going for somewhere in the car, I remember, and I said, I think I need to see my GP. I think I've hit bottom rock now. I need help. Then that was the time I realized I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not normal. And so I saw the GP and obviously I spoke to her. I was emotional, crying. I was a bit anxious as well. So, I tick all the boxes. Yes, postnatal depression. I had emotional up and downs. I was teary. I was angry. I was irritable. I was just expecting too much out of myself. Yes. And there was lack of sleep. So she referred me to maternal mental health.
Yes.
Which I think you can go if you're under 12 months of postpartum. So I was luckily, I was just 10 under. Months.
Yeah.
So, and they were really nice. They saw me within some time. They gave me a call and then they saw me. So I saw a specialist that time. And he started me on antidepressants he started me straight away on antidepressants. So when I started the antidepressant, it is, I must say, you really need a lot of support. And whether to just, because sometimes you just feel it's normal and sometimes you feel, oh, I'll be able to handle it. That's what probably I did. I had a lot of support at home. His parents were here. He is really supportive.
Yeah.
So I had all that, but I was not open to help.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to say to everybody. If you're struggling, just ask for help.
Yeah.
And you will find help in some way or the other. So I didn't do that until 10 months.
Right. And do you think the people around you outside of your family, like your friends and things, do you think they would have known you were struggling?
No.
No.
It's very hard to know you're struggling.
Do you think you kind of hid it or sort of, you know, just put on a bit of a show when you were around people and underneath you were struggling?
I think I was in a denial.
I think
I was in a denial. I was like, I can do it. You know, as women, we are hard on ourselves. We feel we can do everything.
Yes.
So that's what I thought. Oh, I can do it. It's fine. I don't need any medication. Being a medical professional myself, I realized I can do it. It's funny because I should know what to do and when to seek help. But it doesn't trick, you know, it doesn't ring your bell that time. You feel, you know, when you're on that emotional stage, you feel, I was like, I can do it. I just need to do this. It'll be fine after some time, but it wasn't fine.
Yeah, that's really interesting because you're a GP and I'm sure that you see people like yourself in your practice.
Yes.
And you diagnose this all the time.
So yes.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, your doctor hat and your mother hat were clearly very, very different when you were in it.
Yeah. So I think, firstly, I think doctors are the worst patients. They are. But yes, being, you know, when you are in control of work and you feel you're in control of life, you can do everything and you can control it. That's probably what I thought. I thought I can control it by, you know, going out for walks, by going, talking, being happy outside. But I don't think people knew about my struggle. It was just me and my husband who knew about my struggle. And I finally told my parents and my family here in New Zealand after I started the treatment, because that phase when I started the treatment was struggle as well. I was very, when you start an antidepressant, you get very anxious. You don't feel yourself. And it lasts for a week, 10 days. And that's the time you need a lot of support because you feel like stopping it. So that's when Percy supported me as well. He's been amazing to me. So he stopped, he was very supportive and he could understand what's happening. So that lasted for 2 weeks. And interestingly, what happened is when I started the antidepressant for about 1 month, I constantly felt nauseous. I thought it was just a medication. And so I took a pregnancy test and I was pregnant with my second girl.
Right. Wow. So you're right in the thick of postnatal depression and unexpectedly pregnant.
Yes.
Wow.
It was not planned at all.
Yeah. And you probably thought getting pregnant wasn't, you know, it's not easy for you anyway, right?
Yeah.
And oh my goodness. So how did you feel finding out you were pregnant again?
I was shocked. I was literally shocked. It's, I should be happy because I struggled in my first pregnancy and now the second pregnancy is like a miracle. I'm not on any medication. I'm breastfeeding, unlikely to get pregnant. But yes, here I am pregnant again. So I think I was around 5 weeks when I found out. And that was the time I had exactly time when I started the medication.
Oh my goodness.
And so I remember the second time I went for the clinic and I told them I'm pregnant and I'm taking antidepressants. And those antidepressants were fine during pregnancy.
Okay.
There are a lot of women there who are on antidepressant pregnancy. And obviously they are on the antidepressant, which are fine for the baby.
Yep.
So my specialist said, no worries. If you want to continue having the baby, you can be on the antidepressant. You don't have to stop them. It'll be fine for the baby.
Great.
But my dilemma was, do I continue being pregnant or do I... will I be able to cope with it? Because it was hard and I still wasn't 100% myself. I was still going through the treatment. I still wanted to bond with Anaya and things like that.
Yes.
So yeah, that took some time. I forgot to mention that I did take counseling during the 1 year. Once I started the whole thing.
Yes.
So I took counseling the whole second pregnancy.
Okay.
And amazing counselor. She really helped me through. It's more like psychotherapy. So I started that. And that was the time I told my parents and my in-laws about my depression. And I think I told them about my pregnancy as well at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And both sides were very supportive, obviously.
Right.
They were there. Look, you do what you want to do, whatever is right for you. And even Percy was like, do what you want to do, whatever is right for you. I'll support you.
Right.
So that kind of really helped because I didn't feel pressured. So finally with counseling and with feeling emotionally more better, I didn't want to take any decision in the beginning. So I wanted to wait till I feel a little bit more settled.
Yes.
So yes, I decided to go ahead with the second one.
Yeah.
And the second pregnancy was really nice. It was.
Was it?
Yeah, it was quite good. As in, I didn't have kidney stones.
Good. Did you have the other pain that you'd had?
I did have it, but I had it more towards the end.
Oh, so good.
So it wasn't that bad in the beginning. And I was more, I think I was more emotionally more settled. I was more self-aware. I was taking counseling and my family were aware what's happening. I have a lot of support from Percy's family. So they're here with us. So they were taking care of Tanaya. I also started working, which helped me quite a bit.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I started working after 1 year. Tanaya was 1 year. And I started working for whatever period was till I had to stop. So that was good.
And why do you think working helped you?
I think it was when I go to work, I remember it was just me. It was me. I love working. And it was all about my work. It was not about being mom. It was about just doing what I do. And that kind of helped me as well, because when you're mom, you're doing everything for the baby. You kind of forget what your priorities are. So being at work was my priority that time. And I knew Tanaya was at safe place. She was at daycare. So that helped me quite a bit as well.
I'm just wondering here, is there a difference between being the struggling mum at home who's feeling like she can't do it all and maybe you feeling like you're failing a bit, and the experienced doctor who knows what she's doing? So when you go to work, you feel like good because you are in a space where you're confident.
Yes, I think there are a lot of factors here. One is you are with people, you're not with kids anymore, you're with adults, so you have that social interaction, so that is what is needed. Second is it's very predictable in a lot of ways. Okay, if you've got someone who's sick, you know what to do. You know, if you need to do this and this, but being at home, you've got a child who's crying and the next moment he's laughing, a child who's going to who's hungry and the next moment he's pooped. So I think that made a lot of difference. And some people, for them, work is like, you know, you enjoy it like you enjoy photography. It's not work, it's your passion.
That's right.
Same with me. I mean, I go to work, I meet people, I enjoy meeting patients. So that kind of really helped me. I knew I had another purpose in life than being a mom.
That's so good. So good. Because I wonder if sometimes people think returning to work's a bad idea because they're not coping at home. But for you, it was like such a good idea.
It was just getting out of that shell, which was there for 1 year. And I didn't work full time. I started part time. I just few days here and there, and then slowly increasing it.
And so in terms of your anxiety and depression through the time after you started treatment through the second pregnancy, how was your mental health during that second pregnancy?
So I continued with my therapy and I think I was going every fortnight or every week. I don't remember. But that was there. I stick to my medication. I started taking care of myself, as in taking time off, which I forgot to take, not working, as in just taking time off for myself. So and it was good, I must say. My mental health during my second pregnancy, because of obviously physically I was not that in pain, mentally it helped me recover, and spending more time with Tanaya, more relaxed. So I would say more relaxed and a bit more confident. So it was good. And slowly, I think it kind of prepared me for the second one as well. And not being hard on myself. I learned these last 3 years is don't expect a lot from yourself. Just do as much as you can. So I stopped expecting too much. But that's how and mindfulness. I did a lot of mindfulness.
Right.
And still working on it. But support. I can't keep saying it again and again. Support, reaching out for help. And I was lucky. I am lucky in that way.
And so when Jasmine came along, sweet little Jasmine, how was that for you?
Jasmine was quick.
Was she?
Yeah, she came. She was delivered within 1 hour of me being in the hospital.
Wow. So
she was quick. I had no issues. Like the Naya, I still can go back and look into her eyes when I saw her for the first time. And and my second time, my postpartum was fine. I was mindful of, I continued with my medication, obviously, I didn't want to go back to that. At that time, I was already around, I think when she was born, around 18 months into the medication or something like that, or probably less than that. So I decided that I need to continue it because I don't want another second. And it was I think it would have been foolish to stop the medication.
At that time,
So I continued on it, taking the same medication. I think then I did go to counseling for some time, but I had to stop it because she was too young. I couldn't really leave her.
Right.
But I knew I could go back to the counselor that had seen her. So medication, asking for more help, taking time off for myself.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So a completely different postpartum experience.
Yes, completely different.
Yeah.
It was preparing myself for that. And I wouldn't say completely on the medication. It was mentally, you know, the counseling on myself worked quite a bit along with the medication.
And all those things you'd learned from your experience with Tanaya, all those things you'd learned about asking for help and taking time for yourself, those skills you'd learned would have been putting into place when you had Jasmine.
Yeah. Yeah,
so good.
And because this time I had two, not just
that's
one.
Right.
But I had help with Tanaya at home as well. I knew that, you know, if I'm not with her, I know she's safe with with her grandparents. She's safe at daycare. And the idea was that the second pregnancy was to give time to both the girls, help them bond.
Do Percy's parents live with you?
They do. Percy's dad's with us right now. Mum's in Tauranga. His sister's in Tauranga. But they're here. They've been here throughout because of COVID times as well. And they're great with girls.
Yeah.
And they love them. And it they help us quite a bit.
That's wonderful.
I think it's like a village to help.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and if they weren't here, we would have been struggling. And they've been such a great support. And we are very, very thankful to them.
Wonderful. I just want to ask you before we move on to some of these final questions is, tell me about naming your girls. How did you choose their beautiful names?
So Tanaya, I think, I don't know if anyone in astrology, my Percy's family believes a lot in astrology. So they come out with time and date when you're born. They come out with alphabets, which will be good for them.
Really?
So when Tanaya was born, it was T. We had to select with name with T. So we knew we were having a girl, but we didn't know the name until the last minute because it was when they're born and what time.
I see. How wonderful.
So I don't know how we came about the Naya's name.
You just did.
Googling it and we knew and it means beloved daughter in Sanskrit. It's a Sanskrit name. With Jasmine, it came with J. So we wanted something. So we came out with Jasmine and was the last minute thing as well. So we wanted something which is easy for them, and it's easy to pronounce as well.
How
we came up with
them. Oh, I love that. Gorgeous. What do you think you learned about yourself through the last few years?
What I learned about myself is that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay if you're on antidepressant and you need to function in life. I'm still taking them. I've started decreasing the dose. I've successfully decreased 5 milligrams. And I plan to do it. It might take a year or something. And I'm happy with the decision I made because, asking for help is the big thing I learned about myself and expecting too much out of myself. So just to be, just be nice to yourself. That's what I learned. And I think I probably more be obvious about my partner, because I think somehow in this whole taking care of myself, girls, I might have just forgotten Percy in between. Mm-hmm. So just trying to make a conscious effort to be nice to him and give him support as well. That's what I think I have learned in the past.
Yeah, amazing. Yes.
And I'm very lucky to have love, you know, at his family and my family. My family is in India, but we have constant touch. So very lucky in that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, seeking help is the big deal, big thing I have learned about myself.
And then, so it might be the same answer, but what advice would you give to someone listening who might be struggling in the same way that you were?
Yeah, I think, probably the same answer. And whenever, mostly postpartum depression, I'm talking probably like a GP at the moment, when you go at 6-week check for your child,
yes,
seek help. Talk to your GP how you're feeling about it. Most of the GPs may ask you how you're doing. It might be like, oh, it's fine. We're doing fine. We've got help. But be genuine. If you're struggling, if that is the point you can ask for help, just say, I need help. I need to talk more. And that's where we can take it. Because as an outsider and as personally experiencing it, a lot of people may not know you're struggling. Yeah. So a lot of people around me didn't know I was struggling.
Yeah.
And it's okay to feel like that. Mm. Yeah, same thing. Just seek help.
Yeah, that's excellent advice.
Yeah.
And before I ask the last question, I just want to ask you, how are you now?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm taking the antidepressant now. I'm doing more for myself. I've started swimming. I'm doing yoga.
Wonderful.
I'm working. I love work. I love spending time with girls. So, I make a list of things I want to do for them. So I'm happy now. I'm at a very happy place at the moment.
That's wonderful.
Even though we are very stressful at work and seeing what's happening around. I'm doing gardening, so I picked up hobbies and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying being mom.
Wonderful.
And I know if there might be moments when I might be down again, and there might be moments when I stop the medication and I might not do well, I'm happy to go back to it.
Yes.
Yeah, because I want to function, and that's I'm functioning at the moment, and it's I'm happy.
Great. That makes me so happy to hear you say that. When you described your life when Tanaya was a baby, and you describe your life now, it just sounds so much better balanced now.
And one more thing I add, and I'm actually happy to share my story with everybody, because I know when you share, someone else might get help. So I have started sharing. I tell my friends, you know, if someone's struggling, I'm struggling too. I have struggled. So it helps the other person. So it's fine to share as well. If you're struggling with anything, if you know, if you overcome something, because it'll help somebody else.
That's right. And that's why I'm so grateful for you to share today.
Oh,
because
thank you.
This will really help. This is really important. Our final question today, lovely Syra, is what does it mean to you to be Tanaya and Jasmine's mum?
Fun, a lot of joy, a lot of hard work.
Yep.
But by the end of the day, when they come and kiss me and say, I love you, mommy, and I feel like, you know, it's been all worth it.
Yeah.
It's been worth doing so much hard work on myself and, you know, making myself like that so that they can easily love me. I can love them easily, because when you can love yourself, you can just love others too. It's fun being their mom, and they're beautiful girls, and it's fun, I would say.
Thank you so much again for sharing. It really means so much to me that you shared this, and we haven't had anyone talk so in depth about this on the podcast, so I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. I'm really grateful that I know you, and I could get this chance to talk to you about it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay, thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, lovely Syra, for your beautiful and open sharing of your experience. I really appreciate it, and I know it will help someone. And I am so glad you are well and happy again. As always, I hope this podcast brings you hope, healing, and hugs.